I remember in days when God called me to preach, I just wanted to preach. It didn't matter where. And I guess it still doesn't matter where. But I remember getting that little, we lived in a little, it was a two-story duplex. And my wife and I lived in the bottom. There's a single man lived upstairs. And I remember coming home in the afternoons from Bible college. I'd get in there. I'd get in that living room, Brother Dean, and I'd turn the chair around and I'd put my Bible up there like it's a pulpit, and I'd just go to preaching. And there wasn't nobody in the room. I guess maybe that fella upstairs, he thought, man, old Ledbetter has lost his mind. We get in there and we just try to preach, and we go to nursing homes and preach, and just anywhere we could. Sunday school. I mean, you didn't have to give me much opportunity. We'd preach the Word of God, and I'm just amazed the Lord's brought us this way and got us prepared us for this time. And I was praying this week, you know, kind of being snowed in. I was just kind of thinking, meditating, praying a little bit. The Lord reminded me He's prepared my life and my ministry for this hour in this place. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for that. I still don't know all that He has in store, but I know this, the way of the Lord is perfect and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord makes no mistakes whatsoever. And I'm so grateful for that tonight. Amen. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Well, we're going to go to Psalm 51 tonight. And stand with me. We're going to read some verses here. And I don't mean to just labor through a passage and try to bore us. I know sometimes we as preachers, we're not careful. We'll miss the forest for the trees. And I don't want to be guilty of that, but I really feel like in these days the Lord's led my attention this passage of Scripture for our church and for my life and for your life and for my family and for your family. We're living in days where many people are not right with the Lord, and the Lord's soon to come. And I want to be a pastor that can stand before the Lord and say, you know what, I did all I could. I did all you told me to try to help them be right on the day of judgment. And I remind you tonight, we're going to stand before God one day. And we don't want to have them regrets. We don't want to have those, I wish I could have, I wish I could go back and do. Because on the day of judgment, it'll all be too late. What we could have done is going to be wiped away. We ain't going to be able to go back and do it. And what we should have done, we're not going to be able to go back and do it. And so what we need to make right with God, we need to do so tonight. And I trust that the Lord will help us again this evening. I believe I got something that encourages you, all right? How many's got your Bibles? Hold them up like that. Amen. Got your King James Bible. Ain't that a blessing? I don't mean to embarrass you if you don't have it, but if you're a Christian, you ought to have your Bible. Amen. You ought to bring it with you to church. A Christian without a Bible is like a plumber without a wrench. It's like a carpenter without a hammer. It's like a automotive mechanic, and he ain't even got a socket and a driver. Are you listening? A Christian needs his Bible. A Christian needs her Bible. We'll say thank God for my Bible tonight. Brother Tim's been doing a lot of good study, and I know it got you standing, but we might be preaching a while. You'll be glad you did. But Brother Tim been teaching a lot about them Mormons and how they elevate the Book of Mormon above the Bible. And I'm so glad there ain't no book higher or more elevated than the Word of God that we get to hold in our hand. And most of us have more than one copy of it. I got a half dozen, I guess, back there in the office, different study Bibles and things. And they're all King James. Somebody say amen right there. But I've got at least a half dozen. But I'm thankful for my Bible tonight that I can bring it and learn from it. Let's study it together tonight. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Boy, I can't wait to get that tonight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let's leave off our reading there. We'll deal with some more verses following there tonight. But let's pray together this evening and ask the Lord to help us. You can go ahead and be seated. Father, we want to come to you and ask you one more time tonight to help us. We're grateful to be here tonight. So glad for what we felt, what we've heard sung, and what we've heard testified about this evening already. God, I pray for the next few moments now, you'd help us. God, help us to communicate the Word of God and make it alive. Lord, to your children tonight, help us to leave. Lord, indeed, whiter than snow and clean tonight. Clean conscience, clean heart, clean soul, and clean life this evening. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been dealing with the context of this psalm, understanding that it is a psalm of David. It's a psalm in light of David's sin with Bathsheba and ultimately the murder of Uriah. And David has been living in sin. He's been living with that sin in his heart. He's been living with that sin in his mind and in his life. He has done everything he can to cover it up and to hide it and to keep anybody else that knows from knowing about it. And David has been relatively, it appears like, successful in doing so. I believe that as David has covered it up, that David has kept others from knowing about it, but David knows that God knows, and David knows that David knows what David has done. David, in living with his sin from what some believe 9 months to maybe a year and a half to 2 years, David has lived with this, and David has not enjoyed the Lord. David has not enjoyed his salvation. David has been in desperate, dire need, my friend, of really coming back to God and getting right with God and doing business with God as a child of God. As we consider this psalm, we believe to be David's repentance from this sin as David gets right with God. And there are several what are known as penitent psalms, and Psalm 51 is the most well-known of those that David prayed in light of the sin that he had done in an attempt to repent and turn and get right with God. We're thankful for this passage of Scripture in our Bible, for it tells us tonight how that a man and how that a woman might really, truly get right with God. And we've been preaching these weeks now on Sunday evenings from this psalm on what it takes to get right with God. We've noted that in David's life, and it had something to do with the man of God in David's life. The Bible said in the heading, this psalm, a psalm of David, when Nathan and the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And David had a man of God in his life that would get in his business, and as God prompted and moved his heart. In fact, 2 Samuel 12 said, and the Lord sent Nathan the prophet unto David. Amen. David thought he had it hid and nobody knew about it. And old Nathan had been laying with God, and God told the man of God that thing that David had tucked away. Have you ever been in a service? You walked in and you thought that you had it all covered up and you deceived yourself and nobody knew about it but you and God. And then a man of God get up and begin to preach on the very thing that you is harboring in your life. Thank God that's God's attempt and God's way of, my friend, letting you and I get right with God. Nathan looked David eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, and toes to toes, and said, David, you may be the king of Israel. You may have done some great things in the past. But David, thou art the man. David, you need to get right with God. And can I say tonight, amen, thank God for men of God that we look at eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, and toes to toes, my friend, tonight, and not let up and not care for our feelings. My friend, rare bank and preach. Remind us that we need to get right with God. And David got right with God because of the man of God. David in this psalm, he begins by saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." And a saying not only had to do with the man of God, but the mercy of God. David now has been brought to the place where mercy is calling him back to God. Amen. He understands he's not right with God. We have dealt with verse 3 already that he acknowledges his sin in this passage. And in this opening statement and opening line, the opening verse is Psalm 51. David realizes if he's going to get right with God, and it's not going to be on who he is and his integrity and his character. He's proven in this stage of his life to have very little to none at all. And then if he's going to get right with God, it'll be the mercy of the Lord. I'm glad to name the mercy of God. Amen. Follows you and I, calling us when we're wrong to get right with God. Amen. To come clean with God and let God restore us back to where we need to be. David said, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. I'm glad there's a multitude of them. You say, wait, Jose, I got a multitude of failures. I've got a multitude of blunders. I've got a multitude of days I do things I ought not to do. I've got a multitude of days that I don't do what I ought to do. And David said, Lord, I'm coming back again. I need to get right again. God, I'm coming again, and I'm coming to get right according to the multitude of that tender mercy. I'm glad that God's a tender God. I'm glad His mercy is tender. Amen. I'm feeling something right here. Amen. I'm glad He ain't a hard God. I'm glad, my friend, He's not a God. Amen. That pushes us away. But in mercy, He calls and draws us back to Himself. And David said, if I'm going to get right with God, it'll be the mercy of God. And I say tonight, the man of God and the mercy of God has now drawn David to a place that David has not been in a long time. It's drawing him to make an altar. It's drawing him to a point in his life. And thank God for men of God, amen, that'll do their part. And by the way, God still has some men today. And there's as good a preaching going on today. Amen. Maybe not as much of it, but there's still men of God preaching the Word of God. There's still men of God that's got a backbone. There's still men of God that, my friend, ain't limp-wristed and noodle-back. Amen. Ain't got no yellow spine. Are you listening? I mean, men of God that, amen, they don't have a yellow string that wide running down their backside. Amen. They're still doing their job. God always have a mouth. Amen. God always have a voice. Amen. Even in the dark days. Amen. In the opening of the New Testament. Amen. In dark ages, God said, amen, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he come telling folk you need to get right with God. That was his message. Are you listening? Amen. You need to get right with God. And so a man of God and the mercy of God are faithfully doing their part in the will of God in David's life and even tonight in our life. And my friend, the mercy and the man of God is driving David to a point in his life where he's going to get down on his knees in an altar again in an attempt to get right with God. I'm glad tonight that God does the drawing, and God knows how to get the attention of His children, amen, in getting them to the place where they can get right with God. Been a long time in David's life since he's been able to get down and talk to God. It's been a long time in David's life since David could truly do business with God. Amen. But thank God, the man of God and the mercy of God, amen, have stepped in and kicked in. And it leads us to Psalm 51, where David is now laid out upon an altar talking to God. And David is going to have to faithfully manifest some things from his heart unto the sovereign God that has saved his soul, this God that he has sinned against, this God that, my friend, said to David, David, I give you everything you wanted,
And had that not been enough, I had to give you more. And David's having to crawl back to him. David's having to crawl back to the God that has been faithful in David's life. Amen. In an attempt. Amen. To get right with God by manifesting true repentance. We noted this evening that in the last few weeks on Sunday evening that this involved David's confession of sin. And we noted in this psalm that David said, I acknowledge my sin and it's ever before me. I'm guilty. What he's saying, Lord, is that I'm guilty of this thing. It's not your fault. It's my fault. You're not the one that walked away. I'm the one that walked away. You're not the one that chose to do wrong. I chose to do wrong. And there's a confession and acknowledgement in David's heart and in David's prayer and in David's repentance that this confession is made to the Lord. And he has indeed sinned. Amen. The word acknowledge simply means that my friend, his eyes have been opened. Amen. He's lied to himself and he's deceived himself. My friend, you're in sad shape tonight. Oh, when you deceive yourself, and we're living in a generation that they've not been deceived by Joseph Smith. They've not been deceived by the prophet Muhammad. They've not been deceived by the Pope. They've been deceived by their own self. That's why Paul wrote in the New Testament, be not deceived. Deceive not yourself. Amen. Over and over the warning is given. Amen. That we not lie to ourselves. That we be honest with God. Amen. And acknowledge, my friend, our own errors. I say tonight, David is in a place where now he's willing to confess it. And my friend, confess it all. And not hold anything back. And not cover it up. And not try to sugarcoat it. Amen. Nathan had already looked at him and said, you're the man, big boy. You've messed up big time. And you need to get right with God and the hammer's going to fall on your leg. Amen. It ain't going to do David any good to cover it up. The mercy of God has already exposed David. The fact that his sin is great. And my friend David, in getting right with God, makes this confession. I'll not re-preach all that. Amen. Buy the CD. Amen. We need the money and you need to preach it. My friend, let's put it this way. David got right when there was confession. Amen. But understand, number two, the contrition of David. David's contrition over his sin. Amen. Not only did he confess it, David got broken about what his sin had done. Amen. He realized it wasn't a light thing. It wasn't a small thing. It wasn't a little thing that at what David had done had literally broken the heart of God. It had broken his relationship with God. It had broken the trust in the nation of Israel in David. Everywhere David turned, he realizes that his sin has made an impact on his life, on his family, on his nation, on his God. And now, my friend, there is a sorrow that creeps into David's heart as he understands that my friend, there is a sorrow that must be manifest in our hearts and lives. We don't get right with God with our nose in the air. We don't get right with God, my friend, puffing our chest out saying, God, I know I messed up, but you're going to have to forgive me for this one today. And I say that ain't how a man gets right with God. He gets right through godly sorrow. Amen. That godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Not a worldly sorrow that and says, man, I'm just sorry because the preacher found out. That ought to make you sorry. That's a part of godly sorrow. And if that's all, the further you go and you never realize that it's broken things in your life and in your family and in your relationship with God. Amen. You'll never get right with God. David exercised to contrition about his sin. And I say tonight, true repentance is evidenced through godly sorrow. When we studied last week that involved David's honesty with God. In verse 6, he acknowledges the fact that, my friend, that God desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, God is going to make him to know wisdom. As David begins to be honest with God, God begins to be honest with David and begins to put more truth in David's life. And I say, when you get honest with God, God will indeed begin to show you areas that your sin areas in your life that your sin has affected beyond what you even know. And my friend, you say, boy, that's hurtful. And man, when God do that, God does that so we can manifest a true repentance, true contrition in the matter of repentance. We see David's hurt, but God led him to contrition and godly sorrow. He said, Lord, you've broken my bones. Amen. There's things you've inflicted upon me that have broken me down. And I say that is the whole goal of chastisement for our sin. As God chastens us for our sin, it's to lead you and I to the place where we'll break in our heart and acknowledge, amen, and be broken and have godly sorrow in our manifestation of repentance. And then we say, David's heart for God in verse 16 and 17. You know, even through all that David did, amen, there was something on the inside of David, I believe. I believe while David was sinning, listen, his own flesh was enjoying it. There's something on the inside that said, David, you know this ain't right. David, you know God's a watcher. David, you know God's not pleased with you right now. I believe when David got up the next morning, and David realized, said, amen, the presence of God was not real in his life like it had been in days gone by. And there's something in the heart of David that said, then I can get back at where I used to be with God. Amen. Can I say David's heart for God? He understood that it wasn't in an outward display of sacrifice and offering that was going to get him right with God. But rather, David had to have a broken and a contrite heart. And God would listen to me now. God was not going to let David get right with him until David had a brokenness and a contrition in his heart over what his sin had really done to God. And I say you and I never get right with God till there's a brokenness in our heart. And my friend, we come to God not to put more money in the offering plate, not to sing louder than we did the week before, not to make a greater show this week than we did last month. And my friend, when a man, woman, boy, girl is sinned, the way we get right with God through contrition and godly sorrow is to have a heart that is truly broken over our sin like God is broken over our sin. Tonight, I want to get to this point of the message this evening, the point of the psalm. I guess if you add up all the time we spent preaching, we're on hours now in this psalm. But understand tonight, not only David's confession and David's contrition, but tonight, I want to move into some ground and deal with David's cleansing for sin. In Psalm 51, David is manifesting and makes some statements to us tonight that he desires. He understands now there's a confession, there's a brokenness. David understands now in this point of the study tonight of Psalm 51. David understands I'm still not where I need to be. Amen. I can confess it all day. I can be filled with contrition all night. But until God cleanses me of this thing, until God washes it out of my life, I've got involved in something and it just won't come off. I heard a preacher not long ago, I don't know much about this, but I heard a preacher preach on that Luke 15, the prodigal son. And you know, I've been around cows and horses in my day. And as a boy walking through the field, hey man, you get the old cow droppings on you and the old horse droppings on your feet. And you can go to old water hose and you can wash it off. Hey man, this old preacher grew up a hog farmer and he said, hey man, that old hog stink and gets on you and it don't wash off easy. Hey man, can I say there's some sins tonight you and I can get into? And my friend, you ain't going to wash it off. Hey man, by reading the page of the scripture, you ain't going to get it out of your heart and life and mind. I going down the church house and singing a song. Hey man, sin grips our life and sin hangs hold. And my friend, we can confess it and see it and smell it and be broken about it all day. My friend, till we get under the sovereign God of glory and get back to a fountain filled with blood. Hey man, listen, there'll be no cleansing for our sin. And so in this penitent prayer of Solomon David, hey man, And notice what David says. He said in verse number seven again, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. He said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What is David saying? David is saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I've acknowledged it. I've been broken about it. But Lord, there's something that I'm desiring for you to do. There's something I can't do for myself. All I can do is ask for it. All I can do is beg you for it. All I can do is pray for it. All I can do is request it. Lord, I need cleansing. I need your power to cleanse me from this sin. You say, preacher, what does this have to do with David? Well, I believe that it has to do not only with David, but with our lives. The cleansing found in this soul, I believe, deals with David's submission to God, or it is God alone who can cleanse from sin. You don't get atonement for your sin. You don't find cleansing for your sin. My friend threw a wafer through a wine glass. Amen. You don't find it in baptismal water, Seth. Amen. You don't find it in reading your Bible and singing a song. Amen. You don't find it even in necessarily coming to church. Amen. Cleansing is found in God and God alone. Ain't no man in this world can ever cleanse you from yourself. You can't cleanse yourself, and ain't no preacher can cleanse you. My friend, the God of glory, David understands that if he's going to get right with God, he's got to come as the dirty sinner he is. Amen. The stained up, good for nothing, that failed, messed up sinner that he is, and submit himself to the power of God to cleanse his life. I say, I believe, Brother Dean, this is where so many people fail in truly getting right with God. Last few weeks, we get on the altar and we ultimately make confession. Last week we preached it, and myself, there was a part of me that got down and had to exercise and express godly sorrow and contrition to the Lord. But if you stop short of submitting yourself to the cleansing power of God, you'll get up and go back to the same slop and same sin that you walked down the aisle with. Getting right with God involves cleansing. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Amen. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, consider the definition of this cleansing tonight, of this cleansing. Notice there are several words that David uses that I want to draw your attention to, and I believe point out the cleansing power of our God this evening. Amen. In verse 1 and in verse number 8, he uses the phrase, blot out. Did you catch that? In verse 1, he said, according to that, the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He said in verse number 8, notice what he said, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity. Amen. Can I say tonight, at David's expression, blot out. He's saying, I've been stained up. And Lord, what I need you to do is blot out this transgression. Blot out this iniquity that has attached itself to my life. A word blot out simply means to stroke or to rub. Amen. It means this. It means, I like this. It means to erase. Amen. David is saying, I've got into this, and it's attached itself to my leg, and I can't get it out of my leg. I can't get it off of me. And so, God, I'm coming to you. I've confessed it. I'm broken about it. And Lord, what I need you to do is I submit myself to you. I need you to erase it. Amen. And remember that. Remember in our first message or second message we dealt with the fact that David is running in guilt. He's living his life in guilt. You know how David's going to get over the guilt of the sin that he's committed. He's going to get over it by the cleansing power, the blood of the Lamb of God, and submitting himself and God reaching down in David's leg and erasing what David has done. And I say this word, it literally means the smooth as with oil. Amen. You remember the story in the New Testament? Amen. Y'all hang with me now. We might get a little deep this evening. Amen. Pay attention. Over in the New Testament, that man, he's going down from Jerusalem and he's headed down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him and they stripped him and they left him wounded and they left left him half dead. And then we know the story. I won't give it all. But that Samaritan came back and had compassion on it and seen his need and seen, my friend, what the world had done to him. And he's a good picture of a man in sin and has been wounded. What did he do? Amen. You remember what he did? He went to his right. Amen. And pulled out of his bag. Amen. Wine and oil. Amen. And poured the oil into the wound as a means of blotting out and healing, starting the healing process of what had been done to that man. And the same thing, that's what David is saying. And this definition is to smooth as we fall. Amen. To wipe out. Amen. David is saying, God, I've been wounded by my sin. And Lord, what I need you to do is pour that healing oil in. I need the Holy Spirit poured back into my life. Amen. I need something and I can't get it myself. God, I'm coming to you and I'm coming for a cleansing. And God, I need you to blot out the mess I've made. And I say, I'm glad when I've wounded myself. Amen. Self-inflicted wounds. Are you listening? Amen. These people in recent years, these athletes that have had self-inflicted gunshots. Amen. If I was that dumb, I don't think I'd carry a gun. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's bad to be self-inflicted. Amen. And yet men are self-inflicted by sin every day. And Brother A.L., there's nothing that we can do to get any better about what we've done. But I'm glad there is a cleansing power in the God of glory. Amen. We come to Him in humble doubt and submit ourselves to Him. Thank God He's got the balm of Gilead. Amen. That helps men when they're down. Thank God the cleansing power He prays blot out. Oh, just with me, number two. I'm bogging down now. We're going to be here all night. And David uses another word that I want you to say. And he uses it at least twice in verse 2 and in verse number 7. What did he say? He said, Lord, what I really need is for you to wash me. Wash me. Hallelujah. Wash me, and don't just wash me, but wash me thoroughly. You know what that means? That means wash me inside. Wash me outside. Wash me behind the ears. Wash me everywhere. Amen. It's kind of like, amen. I know the context of John 13. But in that upper room, the Lord was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, oh Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Amen. And the Lord looked at him and said, if I don't wash your feet, and you're of none of me. And Peter finally humbled down. He said, well, don't just wash my feet. He said, wash my hands. Wash my body. Wash all of me. And I say, I believe that's what David is saying. Amen. Lord, I've been so defiled and messed up. Just a little foot washing ain't going to do. Amen. Just a washing of my feet is not going to get me back to where I need to be. And so wash me. And in washing me, wash me throughly. Wash me in and out. Wash me inside and out. Wash me in every wit and every way, in every crevice of my heart, in every area that I've hidden, in every area that I've tucked away. Lord, I need a penetrating power, the cleansing of God, to get down in my very fiber of my soul and cleanse me and wash me from my sin. Otis, he uses this word again in verse number 7. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What David is saying is, Lord, I'm dirty and I'm filthy. I've got this dirt of sin. I've been stained with it. The Hebrew word that he uses for wash here, it literally means to trample. I found that interesting and began to do some further study. And Brother Dane, here's what I found. It means to wash by stamping with the feet by the fooling process. You know the fooling process. We, amen, don't know much about that in our day. And we're thankful to God for, amen, upright, amen, laundry machines and drying machines. Amen. But there's a day that men didn't have electricity. Amen. The way they washed their clothes was they'd go down to the river and their clothes had been stained from the daily duties inch of length. Amen. And they'd have to take the clothes down the river and they'd take the fuller soap. And the fuller soap, my friend, would be used down there. And when something wouldn't wash out easy, Brother Gerald, they'd have to take that fuller soap and they'd take that garment and set it up on a rock. And they began to work that fuller soap down into that garment. And they'd get that fuller soap down in the fibers. And they'd take that garment there and they literally began to slap that rock and slap that garment with that against that rock. And in an attempt in that folding process to get it out, what they would do is, "This yours, Brother Dave? Amen. Can I borrow it? I won't hurt it too bad." Amen. When they couldn't get a stain out, literally what they would do is lay that garment out on the rock, and they'd get out on top of that garment, and they began to grind and stamp with their feet. Amen. Down into that. That was the only way to get deep stains out. And David is saying, "Lord, take me down to the river. Take me down there. Amen. Get the fuller soap out and get that soap out and begin to work it in my leg in areas where I'm so stained. Lord, if you have to, beat me against the rock. Lord, if you have to, put your foot on me. Amen. Do whatever it takes. Just wash me from the filth I've made out of my life." And I say that requires submission. That requires you and I putting ourselves in the hand of God. Saying, "God, I've made such a mess out of things. I'll never get right with you if you don't help me. And so I'm submitted to you. Take me down to the river of the Holy Ghost. Take the soap of the Word of God. Amen. Take your wisdom and begin to work in my life and clean me up. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me. And Lord, if you'll wash me, I know that I'll be whiter than snow." And I say, when we've made a mess of our life, there's some things Clorox bleach cannot get out. When you submit yourself to the power, cleansing power of God, thank God He'll begin to work in your life. You'll come out on the other side, and I'm not preaching failure's okay. I'm not preaching sin is okay. But I'm telling you, when we do mess up, I'm glad we can come out on the other side right with God, whiter than snow. Amen. Ready to live for God, clean. Are you listening to me? Clean. Amen. Clean by the washing power of God. Notice with me, He says, "Blot out." We're defining now this cleansing. He says, "Blot out." He said, "Wash me." Notice what He said. And I've got to hasten, but He uses the word cleanse in verse 2. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." The word cleanse literally means to be bright, to be uncontaminated or unadulterated, to make pure. David was not just simply dirty. David has been contaminated, which speaks of pollution, that his sin has led him to other sin. Can I say, your sin ain't going to stop with just that one sin. It pollutes us. It contaminates our life. It brings us to the point, Brother Jack, where literally our whole being becomes adulterated. Impure in the eyes of God. David's examining his heart. He's examining his life. Brother Jerry comes to a place, he begins to view it honestly. He begins to view it without a lens of deception and self-deceit. And he comes to the place where he says, "Brother Ronnie, I need God to cleanse me. God, take all the filth out, the pollution, the stench, the stink, the filth, the stuff that has diseased my being. Lord, I'm submitting myself. Cleanse me." He uses another word in verse 7. It's the word purge. He uses the word blot out, wash, cleanse, and purge. Verse 7, He said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be" what? "Clean." I say that's really what David's desire is. The word purge deals with the fact that David is requesting to be purified from sin and uncleanness. It literally means to atone for or clear from sin, to expiate, which literally means David is saying, "Lord, I know I'm guilty. I have done this. I acknowledge it. I confess it. I'm broken about it. And there's nothing I can do to go back and undo what I've done. God, if I'm going to be right with you, I have to humble myself down
in confession and contrition and submit myself to you to declare me right with you. Make a statement tonight, and I want you to get a hold of it. You do not declare yourself right with God. Are you listening? You don't have the authority to declare yourself right with God. I have talked with people as a pastor who are in rebellion, living in pride, living in sin, and beg them, you need to get right with God. And them say, I'm right with God. You know what they're doing? They're declaring their self. And I'm not saying I'm the judge, but I'm going to tell you something. You can. There are manifestations that are made that prove if a man's really serious about being right with God. And you can declare yourself right with God all day long. If God does not declare you right with God, you are not right with God. David said, I need you to expiate my sin. I need you to clear me from the guiltiness that I've been living in. I need you. And when God pronounces it, there's peace. And when God pronounces it, you don't have to run around telling everybody you are right with God. Amen. Boy, I could preach right there, the definition. Notice with me as we look at this. Are y'all still with me now? I promise I'm winding down in about 2 more hours now. All this is a sovereign work. All this cleansing that's defined in this psalm, all these prayers of David, is a sovereign work of God on the basis of His mercy in the life of David. I wish I had a voice right here to preach about 10 minutes. It is the sovereign work of God. You and I submitting ourselves to the sovereign work of God in our life on the basis of His mercy. Not on merit, but on mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. Amen. That's how we're cleansed tonight. Notice with me the description of His cleansing. And I may end with this tonight, but verse 7, He said, purge me. And He uses an interesting way that He wants the Lord to purge Him. He said, purge me with hyssop. I need hyssop purging. It deals with, we believe, that David has in mind here the law of the leper. You understand in Leviticus 14 that in that passage of Scripture, the Lord said, Moses, here's how, when a man has been defiled by leprosy, when he's been plagued by that awful plague, that awful disease that's in the blood and in the body and manifests itself outwardly, that man, the law of the leper said that man had to be put without the camp. He wasn't allowed to enjoy God. He wasn't allowed to enjoy fellowship with God's people. He had to be exiled out there in the leper's community. But if there was by chance a way, a miracle of God, that this man woke up one day and he said, you know what? That leprosy, there was no known cure for it, but evidently there were miracles that could take place. God said if a man comes and he's been cleansed of his leprosy, what he has to do, he's got to come back to the priest, send word to the priest, and the priest has to meet him without the camp and examine him. And the priest would look at that and he'd say, well, I know you did have it. And so we're going to have to practice the law of the cleansing of the leper. He would examine him and make sure that it had been taken away. And they would go through a series where they take two birds. They put one bird in a vessel and they would kill it. And they would mix some things in with the blood of that bird in that vessel. And they take the other bird and they would take that bird and they take a hyssop branch and dip it down in that blood and in that they had mixed in that blood. And that high priest would go out there to where that leper was with that other bird. And he'd take that hyssop and that blood and he'd apply that blood to that bird and he would set it free in acknowledgement that indeed that man who had leprosy has now been pronounced clean. He would then turn, Brother Gerald, to the man who had been a leper, who had been contaminated. And he'd take that hyssop and that blood and he'd sprinkle it upon his body in a testimony. This man has been purged. This man who has been dirty is now clean. David is saying to God, God, what I need you to do,
I understand my sin is so serious. It's like what a leper has. Lord, I'm coming back. I've been so contaminated. I've been so plagued and diseased by this sin that's in me. Lord, I'm coming to you for cleansing. And the kind of cleansing that I'm looking for is blood cleansing. And I say there's a verse in the New Testament that has been abused by many and forgotten by many. 1 John 1:9 is not to the sinner, it's to the child of God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is John talking about? He's talking about the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we have made an absolute mess of things, we've got to come and submit ourselves to hyssop cleansing, being purged with hyssop. David said, "Purge me with hyssop, and when you do that, I will indeed be clean." When the blood is applied, thank God the day I got saved, the blood was applied, my sins were washed away. But and listen, once you're saved, you're always saved. We don't have to teach that around here. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't lose your salvation. You can lose the joy of it. You can lose the joy of it. You can lose the enjoyment and the rejoicing of it. But you can't lose what God did, amen, when He saved you by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But guess what? You still get dirty. There are days you got to go back to the Lord, not for cleansing in the sense of salvation, but in the sense that you've got to have all that filth washed out of your mind, washed out of your heart, washed out of your soul, and only the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. I wish I had a voice to preach it, Brother Dean. I mean, I'd jump a pew tonight. I'm telling you, the description of His cleansing is it's going to take your blood, the blood of a sacrifice. It's going to take the blood of the high priest offering a sacrifice and sprinkling that blood upon he that had been plagued and contaminated if he's going to be cleansed. Notice with me the desire for the cleansing. No desire, no cleansing. If you don't desire to be cleansed, guess what? You're going to go home as dirty as you came in. You'll get up tomorrow as dirty or dirtier than you were today. David is expressing a desire to be cleansed. Why? His desire, listen to this, he's got a desire to be cleansed so that he can feel again. David's gone months or a year or 2 years and has felt no joy over being saved at all. You know why he wants to be cleansed? Because he's sick of not feeling the joy of his salvation. I'm not going to preach it all. I'll get back in it maybe next week. But he's got a desire to be cleansed so he can feel again. And he's got a desire to be cleansed for favor again. Restoring to me the joy of my salvation. What did he say? He said, hide thy face from my sins. He said, Lord, really my desire is that you would create in me a clean heart, O God. Do something in my heart, and I'll deal with that in the next couple of weeks. But then he makes his statement. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What is David saying? Has David lost the Holy Spirit? And listen, these debates about Old Testament saints and their relationship with the Holy Spirit, I know we got a New Testament. We're in the New Testament dispensation. There is a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I'm not so sure. I believe this business that in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit didn't live in them. Because in the New Testament it references the Old Testament saints and said the Spirit that was in them. Now, it wasn't in them in the sense that it's in us today. There's a different relationship, a different ministry He has. But He lived in them. And He came upon them. I think David is speaking not of relationship, but of fellowship. He's saying, Lord, take my child. If you want, take my crown. Take my throne. Take whatever you got. And God did, by the way. God took His child. God took His throne for a period of time.
took his peace. David said, take all that, just don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you, we'll get in it, Brother Dane. You make it without a lot of things. God can take your child and you make it. God can take your parents and you make it. God can take your job and you make it. But if He ever withdraws His Holy Spirit out of your life in fellowship and His favor upon you, you are doomed to not live and to make it in life.
Amen.
Take anything you want to take, but please don't take your Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, David said, I want to be cleansed so I have the favor of God on my life. Might be some of us need to get on the altar tonight and say, you know, it's been a long time since I had that personal, real favor of God that fellowships with me. Come on, Sister Candy. Lord, I want to get right, and so I'm coming to You. You cleanse me. And don't just come to this altar and make a little prayer. Lord, just give me a little washing. Lord, wash me throughly. In and out. Soul, heart, mind. Wash my guilt away. Lord, I'm coming to You, and I'm desiring You to give me that blood cleansing. Blot it out. Wash it. Cleanse it. Purge it out of my life. Father, we love You now. Help us now this evening. Lord, we're living in days a lot of folk are not right with You. Lord, we're living in days a lot of people live far from You. Lord, it's sad in our day, even in my own life. I have to be honest, Lord, there's days that I've convinced myself I wasn't as far away from God and wasn't as wrong in my relationship with God maybe as others. Father, help us to be honest tonight and understand that just a small area is just as big a deal as a big area. Father, help us, Lord, to come to You and submit ourselves to You. Cleansing power found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need You tonight. Help us, Lord. God, take our houses, take our lands. Take what You have to take out of our life to get us right with God. But Lord, please, don't take Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we've got to have You to make it. God, please tonight, Lord, do a work in our life that would lead us to be right with You. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand tonight. We've preached our heart to You this evening. Maybe tonight it would just be in order. Maybe tonight, the last few weeks, you've been keeping a good short account of things in your life, and you can say that God has echoed to your heart that you're right with God. Maybe tonight, if that's your case, you come get on this altar, say, Lord, thank you that You have declared me right with God. Maybe tonight you're not right with God. You need to come get on this altar and say, Lord, I desperately need cleansing power from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been using language you shouldn't use. You know the greatest way to get victory over that? By the way, it's still a sin for a Christian to cuss. Still a sin for a Christian to use dirty language and off-color jokes. Maybe tonight you just come and say, Lord, I need You to cleanse this. I can't get it out of my life. But I'm submitting myself to You that You would cleanse it. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's some area God has fingered in your heart in weeks gone by. You'd have to get on this altar and say, Lord, I can't deal with it myself. I need You to cleanse it out of me. Anybody else need to come? That's it. There's some more coming now. When's the last time you got filled with the joy of your salvation? preacher, it's been a long time. Well, it's been a long time coming for you to get right with God. Put a man of God in this pulpit the last several weeks to tell you the mercy of God's there. Where you're not right, God desires for you to be right. Play one more verse, Sister Candy, please. Got some still a-praying now.